you can't just sit around thinking about it. You know, I see way too many people that are whining, they're negative, they're sitting around scratching a broke ass, wondering why everything isn't happening to them. And I'm like, well, of course it's not happening. You're negative. You're just sitting around talking about why it isn't happening. Tell me why it is. Let's switch that damn energy. Let's make it thrust forward. Don't let it suck you down into a black hole. And that is a conscious decision, no matter where you are in your life, whether you've got money or you don't, or you know where you want to be or what you want to do or you don't. You can control your thoughts and stay in that positive place, and it will always lead you where you need to be.
Hi, this is Daphne Cohn, and welcome to episode 18 of the Creativity Habit Podcast, conversations about art, creativity, and courage with artists and makers. My guest today is an incredibly successful pop art painter. Her work is found around the world. Her clients include Blake Lively, Penelope Cruz, Salma Hayek, Eli Manning, Catherine Hagel, and His Royal Highness Prince Pierre d'Arenberg. She has major collaborations with such big-name brands as Anthropologie, Chloe, and Veuve Clicquot, and she's been featured in Vogue, Elle, Vanity Fair, The Wall Street Journal, and Forbes, to name just a few. She is Ashley Longshore, and you can find her over at ashleylongshore.com. Before I tell you what we talk about in this interview, know this. Ashley is as outrageous as her art. She is bold, brash, and outspoken, and her language is at times what we would call explicit. This interview is not for little kids, so if you have some around, I suggest you either lower the volume or put in earbuds. In this interview, we talk about how she went from broke to selling to hedge fund managers and billionaires, the formula for figuring out who you are and what you want to say. We talk about money and what it takes to be an extremely successful artist. May you enjoy this conversation, and may it inspire you to make your thing and change your world. Hello, Ashley. Welcome to the Creativity Habit Podcast.
What's up?
What's up is I'm so excited to be talking with you. So we're going to start with where it all started, which is your childhood. Start with your story as a young girl, because the world that you came into is so different than the one that you now live in. And so if you could just talk a little bit about the world that you came into.
Well, hold on. First, I want to kind of address that. Is sure. It really a different world?
Well,
I don't know. Or is it just that I'm now comfortable with myself?
Well, you know, okay. I mean? You said that where you grew up was a place where you really learned to rebel against your conservative upbringing. So that's how I thought of it as being different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, you know, I'm in New Orleans, and don't think that this isn't, you know, a bunch of mint julep drinking, sundress wearing, cocktail party, you know, deep South sort of social situation down here. But honestly, I love that. I love the South. I love manners and graciousness. And, you know, I love so many of the rituals of the South. So I think that's why I find myself back down here. But yeah, I mean, I was raised in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was raised to think that, you know, I had to go find a rich man. If I wanted to have a good life, I needed to find a guy that made a bunch of money. I needed to find somebody from a good family. And I think that it always felt really odd to me that my whole life should be centered around depending on another human being, when I knew that I was fully capable all along. You know, as a child, I didn't know necessarily what my destiny was going to be. I knew that I always felt different. I knew that I probably for sure didn't want to stay in Montgomery, Alabama, and be sitting in a carpool line, you know, with kids when I was 28 years old. I always felt like there was something grander for me. And, you know, I think the main thread in my life that's gotten me where I am today is me constantly being able to tell myself, you know, Ashley, you can do this. Ashley, come on, work your ass off. Work as hard as you can. Work harder today than you did yesterday. And even when I was younger, and, you know, I mean, my God, I mean, elementary school and junior high and high school, it's an awkward time, I would think, for the majority of most people, just because you don't really know yourself yet, and it feels awkward, your hormones kick in, and it's a weird time in most people's life, I think. But, you know, thank God for those experiences. And I'm actually very fortunate to be from a place in the South that really made it very clear to me that I was different. And if I had been raised in a larger city or, you know, in the North, it would not have felt the same.
Yeah. So somehow you had this belief in yourself from really early on, it sounds like. And then you have this mantra that you'll say, like, Ashley, you can do this, and just work harder today, work harder tomorrow than you did today. And at the same time, there's this element of fun that is like runs through everything you do. I'm curious how you keep in balance this idea of I'm going to work harder tomorrow than I did today. I'm going to work my ass off. I'm going to make it happen. And
let's be honest. I mean, things are hard. Life is hard and unexpected things happen. And there are always problems in business, you know, even when things are going really great. And for me, the way that I deal with those things is humor. You know, let's say that I've really got to hustle and I'm under the gun and I've got to put a bunch of pressure on myself. Honey, I'll turn on some Jay-Z and get my whole team dancing. We'll get the studio bouncing. Do you know what I mean? And I love that energy because it's just like whether it's positive energy, like a positive motivator, or let's say somebody sends me some nasty message on Instagram or, you know, I miss a big sale that I thought was going to go through. There's energy there no matter where it came from. Part of being successful is being able to take that energy and channel it into something positive. So at the end of the day, no matter what's happened in my day, if I take that energy and I create and I'm making a painting that I can then put on social media, email to my clients, hang in my studio, and hopefully sell and get paid for, I then have turned this energy into money. And that is magic. If I have money, then I can create more things. Creating makes me happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I love it because basically you're creating everything. You're creating the art that you're making, but you're also creating every part of your life that you have control over. Keeping it positive. If someone sends you something nasty, then you just, you know, do whatever you need to do to get back into a positive place.
I get like a whole lot of like nasty email. I really don't. I feel like you get back, you know, kind of what you put out there, but there's always, we all know that there are trolls out there or whatever. And some of the things I say are raunchy and unladylike and people always have opinions about that. But, you know, on that note, the only thing that really matters at the end of the day is how I feel about myself. How well did I perform? How much work did I do? Did I lead my team efficiently? Did I meet my goals? In this life, as an artist or any business or any entrepreneur, whoever you are, there are certain things that you are in control of. I'm in control of my thoughts and how I speak to myself. You know, if I shower self-love on myself, I'm going to probably be more productive in my day than if I go, oh my God, my thighs touch, or oh my God, my Spanx are rolling up over my gut, or oh my God, I just read about, you know, Elizabeth Payton, this famous artist whose work is already selling it, you know, at Christie's for $300,000, and she's only 15 years older than me. I mean, I could sit here and get myself into a damn tizzy, and it would be just like a black hole, just like a sinkhole, or I can sit here and go, girl, you got this going on. You're going to kick ass today. You're going to get yourself all fired up. You've surrounded yourself with amazing people. You've got canvas. You've got paint. You've got an easel. Put on some damn music. God only knows what can happen in a day. Magic happens every day. Who knows who could email me today? Who knows who could walk through the door today? If I put enough energy out there, who knows what's going to happen? So really, I mean, it is just that cornerstone of positivity that is so damn important, you know, so, so, so important.
So I want to ask you, like, I know now you have a certain level of fame with your art, certain level of fortune. We're going to get into more of that. But there was a period of time where you hustle now, but you were hustling then before the fame, before the fortune. What kept you going? Was it that same thing of just like, girl, you can do this?
Well, listen, if you wake up tomorrow and you decide you want to climb to the top of Mount Everest, you think you just going to stroll on up there? No, hell no. I mean, you've got to gear up for the fight, man. You got to be ready for it. And my 20s were about, you know, preparing, the struggle, looking at the top of that peak and going, I'm going to try to get there. I'm going to get there with all my might, and I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. And again, that all goes back to that whole energy of, I can do this, believing in myself. And I know that that sounds cliche and ridiculous, but I'm telling you, man, how do you think somebody gets to the top of one of those mountains? How do you think Michael Phelps becomes an Olympic swimmer? You think he likes getting in the damn pool every day and swimming and his muscles burning? He's missing events. He's not hanging out with his friends. It's sacrifice, damn it. There's no instant gratification in this at all. Now, I could have made my goal to just be able to sell a few paintings, to be able to pay my rent. I mean, this is all very relative to the human that you are. And I've said this when I've you know, done speeches and things like that. There are peacocks, there are sparrows, there are pussycats, there are lionesses, there's owls, and there's bluebirds. All of those things exist on their own, and they exist very well to the best of their potential. I deal with a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, and I thrive on that. Not every human being would thrive on that. You have to find the environment that you thrive in. And when you find that, that is when you set your goals and you go for it.
And when you started, like you said, you looked ahead and you said, I'm going to try my hardest. I'm going to work my ass off to get there. What were some of those goals?
I mean, you know, I wanted to be a very successful female artist. I didn't want to work with galleries. I wanted to keep 100% of my profit margins. I wanted to be able to, you know, work with movie stars and billionaires. I want that American freaking dream, you know? I want all of that. I wanted to know what that feels like. What would that feel like as a woman, a modern woman, to be able to make my own money and lay in bed butt naked with a glass of Pinot Noir, memorize my platinum Amex number, and buy whatever the fuck Gucci I want without having to ask somebody's permission? That is my dream, man. And now I'm living it. I wanted that. I wanted to be independent. I wanted that power in my own life. And I knew very clearly that if I had that, that I could love who I want, I could travel where I want, I can make what I want. I have huge freedom in that. And as an American, fortunately, I do have that freedom. So like now that I'm older and I'm traveling all over the world, I see very clearly, my God, I find it to be very disrespectful to see people that are doing nothing with the freedom that they have in front of them.
Okay, I have a question around that. So first I'm going to read a quote from you and then I'll ask the question. This is from your profile questions. Nothing gets me fired up like fucking making money. That is a very intoxicating power that is greater than any cocaine or penis on the planet. Making money is very inspiring. And if I make money, I can buy more supplies. And if I make money, I can make the grandest of ideas come together. And then just a second ago, you were talking about your dream and lying there memorizing your platinum Amex number and having all the power and the money. It sounds like you have no shame around your desires and around money. And no. Most people do. So did you do anything around that? Or is that just who you are?
What do you mean, did I do anything?
Like most people struggle with the shame they have about, oh yeah, I want to have this thing
why should they feel ashamed? I'm just the kind of person, I wear my heart on my sleeve. If I tell you I want something, I'm going to do it. Now, with all this being said, hell yes, I want to have money. I want to be able to buy what I want. Does that stuff actually define me or my happiness? Not necessarily, because based on everything that you've said, I think maybe I answered another question or it could have been another interview. At the same time, if you took every damn thing away from me and all I had were my paints, my easel, and some canvas, guess what? I'd still be happy as hell. You could take everything away from me right now and I would still figure out how to make a living and how to push forward because I figured out my talent. I know what I'm good at. And my true happiness lies within creating art. That's what makes me happy.
Okay.
I mean, it is intoxicating to have that much joy in creating something and then to be able to sell it. And this bonus reward is the money. Yeah, I like the reward a lot. Just like if you tell a puppy to sit and then you give them a bone every time. Yeah, they're going to like that. I mean, they're going to sit no matter what because that's what they do. But if you give them a bone every time, they're going to be really, really excited about that. I like that. I'm a little doggy and I like my bones.
Do you not see, though, with other artists? I mean, I feel like I've come across this a lot, especially with artists and creatives, where there's this funky thing around making money and art.
Well, they need to get the hell over that. I don't know what that, they're probably the same artists that give up 50% to any gallery that'll carry their artwork. You know, like I said before, there's peacocks, there's sparrows, there's owls, there's bluebirds. It takes a lot of different type of people to create an entire industry of people. And I do not feel ashamed or sorry that I want to be able to have a company, and you know, I'm running three companies now where I am hiring people, I'm employing people, I'm creating jobs. I mean, you know, the girls on my team are rolling up in new cars and they're rolling in here with Gucci. I mean, you know, this is America, damn it. I mean, you can deny it all you want to, but I mean, our whole culture is based around status and greed. I'm not sorry for that. I want to be comfortable. I want to be comfortable. Now, if other artists get off on, you know, the struggle, and I get that too. I mean, in the beginning of my career, you know, what drove me a lot was fear, not being able to pay my bills, not being able to, you know, afford to pay for my cell phone. You know, I spent a whole day painting in the dark when my power got turned off. And I'm going to tell you something, I did not like that. Other people may get off on that. I don't get off on that, you know. Like I said, everybody's different. I mean, some people like to do it missionary. Some people want to be choked and have their hair pulled and they want it from behind. I mean, I don't know. We're all different. And I celebrate that. And I think it's wonderful. And if everybody was exactly like me, then me and you probably wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
You just said, you know, this country, so much of it is about status and greed. And you had said, I'm constantly traveling and reevaluating my own opinion of status and greed in the United States. So tell me what your opinion of it is now after constantly traveling.
Well, I mean, I told you before, I mean, this is the greatest country in the world, yeah, especially for me to be a woman in business, to be an entrepreneur, to be able to say, I'm going to be an artist and I'm going to start a business and I want people to call me double comma mama. I want a jet one day called Thunder Pussy. How many countries in the world could you actually really and truthfully, no matter what your upbringing is, have the opportunity to really fucking do that? There's not a lot.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about how you did that, because that's one of the biggest questions that comes up for people is, okay, this is what I want. And then there's always that question of how, and of course, how is always figure outable. But what are some of the things that you did to get yourself in front of hedge fund managers and billionaires? And
Let's talk about that. And I'm going to go back to that, you know, that the whole metaphor with, you know, climbing Mount Everest. If I climb Mount Everest, I know that I'm going to get to a certain level where I'm going to need oxygen. I know I'm going to need extra blankets. I know I'm going to need ice picks. I know I'm going to need a different type of shoes. I'm not only going to be thinking about the now that I'm in, I'm going to be thinking about the future. And when I was broke as shit, painting in the dark, you know, wanting people to know who I was, wanting to get some form of attention, I was thinking very early, I need to get these emails and put them into constant contact. I need to make sure that I know how to get in touch with these people who are telling me that they like my artwork. I mean, even back when it was $200, you know, I had this foresight that if I'm going to build a business, a real business, I need to really think about the foundation of what I'm doing. I need to think about the future and the now. So really, I don't know if it's just the way my mind works, but I've always had this 3D perspective of my career and where I want it to go. So it wasn't just happenstance that all of a sudden there was all this social media and all of a sudden there's the internet and all of a sudden there's all this opportunity to communicate with people globally very quickly. It's the fact that I had been keeping all these people's names. I had been keeping all of their emails. I knew who they were. I stayed in touch with them. I wrote them letters. Do you know what I mean? Like that whole networking thing that used to take a lot more energy, I started doing that a long time ago. And then, you know, as things started to speed up in this world with these images and social media, I was able to communicate more quickly. I was able to network and tell a friend in New York, hey, I'm coming up there. Let's have an art party. I'll give you a painting for that. Invite all your friends, you know, and then when they would come, I would get their emails. I'd connect with them on Facebook on the spot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I knew that if I didn't want to be shoved in a freaking corner dealing with the traditional art world bullshit of giving up 50%, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, as an art collector, when I'm buying art, the idea of investing in an artist with only 50% and investing in some gallery 50%, to me, that is just such a bad deal for me as an investor. Yeah. I want to invest in the artist. I don't want to invest in a fucking gallery. So I knew how I felt very strongly. We all know how we feel. We all have intuitions. And I have just followed that. I have followed that voice.
So I hear a couple things there. So the first one is just having a really clear idea of where it is that you want to go and where you're going. And then the next thing is making sure that you keep that business mindset along for the, like, right there with the artist mindset, with the creative mindset. And then the last piece is following your intuition, trusting what it is that you know and listening to that and going with that.
Yeah, like, I mean, for example, you might be an artist that wants to eventually have your own studio one day that's outside of your house. And I mean, from somebody who painted in my house for so long, I mean, that was like a huge goal of mine. But like, when you hit that goal, what's next? What's next? I mean, you know, life is short and long all at the same time. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep learning? Are you going to keep pushing forward? Are you going to keep understanding your business? Are you going to keep understanding your clientele? Are you going to keep understanding yourself as a human and your role in the society of the country you live in? I mean, maybe my brain works in a unusual way, but you know, that's just the kind of shit that I'm very aware of on a day-to-day basis.
Another thing that seems really clear with you, both in the way that you talk and the way that you make art, is you have this really clear idea of who you are. And this is probably the biggest question, which is, how do I find my creative voice? How do I know that? How do I then create from that knowing? Did you feel like your creative voice was always really clear to you, or is that something that evolved and got clear to you over time?
You know, growing up, I was in, you know, tons of extracurricular activities, and funny enough, I was never in painting. I don't think my mom thought I could be still enough to actually sit and paint. But I think, you know, when you commit to being a student for your entire life and you're open-minded to things and you try enough things, you will find the right thing for you. I think you have to be patient with yourself. I think, you know, the great thing about being an artist is you may not be ready to paint until you're 45 or 50 years old. If you pick it up then, you could be very great. You could paint until, you know, you're dead. I mean, you know, I hope to be painting when I'm 99 years old, you know. As far as really knowing who I am, I mean, when I first started painting, it was very figurative and colorful. But I also think there's that journey of self-awareness that's super important. And I think self-awareness isn't always about knowing what you do want. Self-awareness is really about knowing what you don't want. So I think the more things you try, the more things you can weed out, you can start to narrow down and really get in your lane and start to be, you know, creative and start making it happen, damn it. But you can't just sit around thinking about it. You know, I see way too many people that are whining, they're negative, they're sitting around scratching a broke ass, wondering why everything isn't happening to them. And I'm like, well, of course it's not happening. You're negative. You're just sitting around talking about why it isn't happening. Tell me why it is. Let's switch that damn energy. Let's make it thrust forward. Don't let it suck you down into a black hole. And that is a conscious decision, no matter where you are in your life, whether you've got money or you don't, or you know where you want to be or what you want to do or you don't. You can control your thoughts and stay in that positive place, and it will always lead you where you need to be.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to underscore the piece where you said knowing who you are, in large part, it's like knowing what you want. And knowing what you don't want can actually be more important in figuring that out and figuring out what you want to do.
Like I know that, you know, I don't really want to paint landscapes. I'm not an abstract painter. I am not interested in painting photorealism, although I have great respect for all of those things. I know I don't want to be an opera singer. I know that gymnastics is probably not my forte, you know. you just, you know, what do you not like? You know, it's like, it's the same as picking out dinner. What are you in the mood for? Do you like Italian? You want Chinese? You want a cheeseburger? Like, there's no difference. You just have to make a damn decision and go with it.
Right, right. And it's looking at the don't want, though. The piece I wanted to underscore is it's looking at the don't want from this positive place. So it's like, okay, I don't want Italian. I don't want Chinese. It's not like, well, I don't know what I want. I don't want Italian. I don't want Chinese. It's like, no, we're just saying what you don't want so you can get it off the table and focus right on what it is you do want. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe what you want is a grilled cheese sandwich and some tomato soup. I love that.
Okay. So another thing, and this is along the same vein that you had said, was at a certain point in everyone's life, they just get to a place where they embrace exactly who they are and you stop apologizing and you stop worrying about not fitting into the mold. And you realize the very thing about me that is different about me is the thing that is so great about me. And then you're saying about yourself. And when I truly embrace that, it came through in my artwork, in my business, in my marketing. And that's just really the secret, is embracing your uniqueness 100%. When I did that, that's when it all really started to happen.
That's right.
So there was obviously a period of time where you weren't doing that, and then you were. What changed for you? Like, what happened where you
It's experience. Yeah. It's going through bad stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going, well, it's sort of like fashion. I may see somebody in a leopard skin tight unitard and go, damn, that woman looks incredible. But, you know, I'm also comfortable enough with myself to go, I love that on her, but I know that ain't going to work on me. You know, like it's just this matter of, I don't know. I mean, you know when you get there. And I don't think you get there from everything being, you know, sunshine and rainbows and unicorn farts either. I think you have to go through some shit. And honestly, it's the bad stuff that brings us closer together. It isn't all the perfect stuff. It isn't, I mean, how many beautiful women do you know that still like whine or complain about their bodies or things like wrinkles? And you're going, are you insane?
Yeah.
Like, are you insane? It just isn't about that. What it's about is when you find love within yourself and you can love yourself no matter what, and you can sleep well at night, you are confident. Now, confidence is sexy. And let me tell you something. Looks will fade. You know what I mean? Waistlines will get bigger. But if I'm a confident woman at 80 years old, I'm going to walk in that room. I'm going to be sexy. I'm going to be amazing. I'm going to be exactly who I am, and I'm going to light that room up. And it won't have a damn thing to do with wrinkles or thighs touching or how far my boobs are sagging down my gut.
That's great. You know, yeah.
I'm just not going to focus on any of that. It's negative. It's negative.
Yeah. And the thing that I just got from what you're saying was, again, it's about taking action. Like, I can sit in my bedroom all day long and be thinking, I don't know, maybe I would like that unitard. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I would like jeans with holes in them, or maybe I would like some strapless red dress thing. But I'm not going to know until I get out of my bedroom, get to the store, try the stuff on. And
right.
Say,
this is life, right. Damn it. It's all about living. What did I just do some math last weekend? I always put things on my Instagram. It's like my daily journal. I put things on there to get me fired up. And I think if you live to be 90, you only have 4,302 weekends in your whole lifetime. You know, like my brain works like that. Like, how many days am I going to live in my life? What day is this? Like last year, I got all obsessed with my birthday to try to figure out, okay, well, you know, I'm not, you know, 41. I'm this many days old. You know, I'm halfway through my life. It's time to rock and roll, man. Every day is precious. I mean, let's break this thing down. What are people afraid of? What are they worried about? You know, if you don't start to do, and you're just sitting around wondering, then you're not living your life at all.
Yeah,
you're not. And you're never going to get anywhere, and you're never going to make the money you want to make, and you're never going to meet the person you want to meet. You're never going to see the world. I mean, that's a sure thing, I'll tell you. If you're just sitting around worrying about it, it's a sure thing that ain't a damn thing ever going to happen with it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So this is along the same vein as what you're saying. So I'm going to quote this because I want to ask about this particular piece. You said, I've never been to art school. You don't have to. It doesn't matter whether you know exactly how to express what you're seeing in your mind. You just do it, which of course is exactly what you've been saying this whole time. Thereby, you have this amazing individual expression that people can respond to or not. It's a footprint in our history. It's important. Okay, so what if you do everything and you take all the steps and you put yourself out there and then there's nothing? Like, nobody, crickets. No one really responds to what you're putting out there.
I'm talking about your instant gratification. You're talking about your time frame. You're not talking about a realistic time frame. You cannot have, you have to work as hard as you can every day in the hopes that something grand will happen every day and not get let down about it. You know, I mean, if I plant a seed in a garden, you know, it's not just going to grow overnight and give me fruit the next damn day. Different things have different time periods. I mean, it takes a magnolia tree forever to grow. It takes, you know, cucumbers, they grow really quickly. It's just like the bird thing. We have to stop putting all these limitations and boundaries and timelines on stuff. I mean, we're so trained in watching 2-hour movies or 30-minute sitcoms that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end in this short time frame. And it's just not really how life is at all, is it?
Well, I'm curious with that because a lot of mentors, teachers out there will say, okay, if you put something out there and there's no response, then maybe you need to alter what you're putting out there and need to get more feedback, find out what it is people want. Is that something that's part of your process or do you say, no, it just takes time. It takes time.
Well, I mean, I think you have to be patient with yourself, but you're also talking about, you know, I mean, I'm an artist, so at the end of the day, if I'm creating something, I have something tangible to show for my time. I'm creating inventory. So if I create enough inventory and I'm working hard enough to put myself out there in front of enough people, it's a numbers game. I think you have to just not give up on yourself. I mean, it would be like if I got pregnant and was like, you know, I'm going to have this baby in 5 months. Crazy. It's just not how there's a rhythm to the universe. And I think this has nothing to do with religion or anything else. You have to have faith in yourself. You have to have faith that your hard work will pay off. And you have to have faith that if you keep trying, something great will happen. And I'm not going to be the type of mentor that tells you you're doing something wrong if you don't get the response that you want in the time that you want it. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It isn't about that. It's about a much bigger picture. I mean, it took me, you know, 20 years for great things to start happening. I was broke as shit. You know, I delivered food for a catering company. I never gave up. I never, ever, ever gave up. Never gave up.
And that's the thing. It's believing, it's having that faith in yourself, and then, like you say, never giving up, taking the action, even if it means delivering food for a caterer, whatever that is, if you're really committed, staying with it, as long as it's still your passion, as long as it's still what drives you, staying committed, not giving up on yourself and not giving up on whatever that passion is.
Yes.
Okay, so another thing that you talk a lot about artists and the shift in the art world. And one thing that I really like, because I've thought a lot about this idea of art criticism and evaluation, and I read some of these things that people write about paintings and different types of art, and like
it's so wrong to criticize anyone who's brave enough to put themselves out there. That's about the criticizer, not about the art, I find.
But some of it is like, oh, this piece means da 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 da. Like, this is what's going on, and it's making this statement about this. And then I have this quote from you where you say, I feel like somebody needs to re-educate these people about what it really is to be an artist. At the end of the day, what matters is, do you like this image? Do you relate to it? Do you love it enough to hang it on your wall and let it live with you and be a part of your family? That's how I see art.
Right. I mean, it's a very intimate process. And the thing about it is what am I attracted to as an art collector, not just an artist? I'm attracted to paintings that remind me of the vibrancy of my own life. I want to surround myself with images that are relatable to my own experiences. So my individual experience as a human is very different than yours. It's very different than Jeff Koons. It's very different from Anna Wintour or freaking Donald Trump. Everybody is unique in their own adventure in life. So, you know, there's a piece of artwork out there for everyone. That's why, whether it is, you know, I mean, I just took my team to Christie's before that big contemporary art auction in New York, because I wanted us to see what the estimates were that they would be auctioned off for. I wanted to see, you know, some of these incredible artists from the 1940s and 50s. And, you know, like one of the paintings that the starting auction bid was $800,000 was literally a white canvas. Well, yeah, I mean, you laugh at that. Well, who is this artist? Were they traumatized? Had they been beaten? Were they sexually abused? What does that white canvas mean to them? A white canvas, I wasn't relating to that white canvas, but maybe there are people that have been through really dark things or whatever, where they go, that is incredible. I want to live with that. I relate to that. So for me, I don't see there to be a whole lot of room in criticizing people who are brave enough to put their thoughts and life experiences out there for other people to embrace. I think it's a really shitty way to make a living to be a fucking art critic, if you want to know the damn truth.
Well, and it's actually,
if you could quote me on this, I think they're a bunch of fucking scumbags, if you want to know the truth. I think it's hateful. I think it's bullying. And I think it's just fucking wrong to make a living putting yourself in the media to tear into people who are sensitive and brave enough to put their thoughts out there for other people to see and possibly purchase and live with. I think they're right. They're right there with Donald Trump for me, if you want to know the damn truth.
Well, and it makes sense, because if we're here to make our thing and then we put it out there and we're met with all sorts of criticism from people who aren't making their thing, and then we say, okay, God, that was horrible. That felt horrible. I'm going to close back up and stop making because of what this person said or what these people are saying. That is a form of bullying. I mean, that is that.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at like even mean girls or people in your life, why are they mean? They're mad at themselves. If somebody said something ugly about something that's generally not about the artwork, they're saying something about themselves that they don't like.
Right.
I don't know. That's why I'm telling you. I could sit here and we could go down a rabbit hole of things I don't like, things I hate.
But we're not going to. Right.
You know, politicians, art critics, and all that shit. Or I can take that energy and I could make a painting.
That's right.
I could have a thought that makes me happy. I could continue to create the world that I want to live in. There's a lot of bad shit happening out there, people. There's a lot of bad, dark, depressing, sad, horrible things that are a reality of life on this planet. But we all have the power to create the life that we want to live in. So create the life that you want to live in, and don't criticize other people for living theirs the way they want. I mean, you know, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. And it's interesting because I have other questions, but I think you've said what needs to be said. So at this point, what you have covered is enough. It's like, this is enough to take and go out and do
it's
your
a
thing.
Lot. It's a lot to think about.
So tell me, is there anything that you want me to have asked you about that, or that I didn't ask you about?
Oh, I think we've covered the basics of how to give yourself a damn pep talk. Stay in your happy place as much as you can and be kind to yourself, damn it. You have to sleep with yourself for your whole damn life. You know, you're always with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your body. Be kind to your mind. And, you know, be sensitive and open-minded when you're dealing with other people and things you don't understand, you know. But on that note, use the opportunities that you have in front of you. Use the incredible liberties and freedoms that you have if you're in America. Don't sit around and waste them. Don't sit around and waste them and whine about everything you don't have when you have all the opportunity in the world to do what you need to do, to provide for yourself. That is important. Action is important. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's great. And I was going to even ask you things about the action, but the truth is, any action that we want to take, we can, if there's any information we need, if there's anything we need to learn, it's all out there. It's all available. It's the thing that I keep hearing from you is it's a mindset. That is the biggest thing. It's the choice you make and then the action you take.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, be realistic with expectations. Don't expect, you know, instant gratification, for God's sake. I mean, you know, be kind to yourself. Give it all you got, as hard as you can. Try to be a good person. Try to be understanding. Use your opportunities, and voila, you got yourself one hell of a life.
That's great. Okay, so there's two more things that I do at the end of the interview, but before we go there, just quickly, first of all, for people to see your art, to check you out, the website, the place to go is ashleylongshore.com, and that's A-S-H-L-E-Y, Longshore. And then, Ashley, you mentioned Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
Ashley Longshore Art is my main Instagram handle. I have another handle that is a little more PG, that's just art, without all my perverse thoughts. That's Ashley Longshore World.
Okay. So Ashley Longshore Art and Ashley Longshore World for Instagram. And then the last two things, one is a piece, I always do a gratitude, and then I have one last question for you. So the gratitude for you is, it's really interesting. I just had a 1-hour coaching call yesterday with my coach because I was stuck in this place of fear and what have you. And the whole conversation was essentially what you said. It was so much about knowing what's in your power and then choosing that. Just create the life that you want. And that is, you are such an incredible example of that. Everything you say, the way that you carry yourself, the art that you put out into the world, it's all about creating what it is you want to create, choosing yourself, having faith in yourself, and then sharing that. And that, even as brave as you sound, as strong as you are, it's still, there's still vulnerability there, and there's still, sure, like everything else that is the fear, all that other stuff is still there. And so the fact that you take all of that and you transform it into this being of power is an incredible role model for us. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It ain't easy, but it's the way. Yeah. It's the way, I think.
Yeah, clearly. Okay. And so the last question that I have is, the mantra for the creativity habit, one of the core beliefs is that everyone is an artist, everyone is creative, and everyone has something to make. And my question for you is, why do you think it's so important that everyone make their thing?
Well, if you don't make your thing, then you can't have your, the question isn't why should they? The question is, why wouldn't they? I mean, that's the question. Why wouldn't you create your thing? I mean, come on. Not why should you? We know a million reasons why you should, damn it. Let's talk about why in the world you wouldn't. Don't be afraid. The world's waiting for you. The world needs you. And if you're creative and you're brave enough to put yourself out there and share your own individual experience of the world, trust me, there are all of us out there that cannot wait to embrace you, love you, and applaud you for it. You will be rewarded by the universe for taking that step. So, yeah, the answer is why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Now is the time, damn it.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creativity Habit Podcast. If you want to get a creativity starter pack for free with a creativity journal, as well as tools and checklists for getting started and staying focused with your creative project, head on over to thecreativityhabit.com/starter pack. You can also find me on Instagram at The Creativity Habit. And if you like this interview, please leave a review on iTunes. Every review not only helps this podcast get out to more people, but it inspires more artists and makers to get out there and make their thing. So thank you, and thanks for listening.